Rav Kook, Schussi Lenin spoke about this time of the year is Aviv HaOlam. It's not just that the seasons are changing. From that time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything in the world changed. Everything in the world changed. Everything that could ever be is different from that time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want to focus on one particular Nakuda that really lies at the center of also the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. I'm not going to talk about the Baal Shem Tov, but those who are listening carefully will hear the sound of the Baal Shem Tov and will understand that that's what this is about also. First, in Halacha, I wanted to begin a little bit with the Dvar Halacha because it's very much nageh to what we're going to be talking about in Pnimius. Everybody here who's learned in Yeshiva knows that in our learning there are many, many chilukim that we make between a din and a chefzeh and a din and a gavra. A halacha that's nageh to the object, to something the object, as opposed to the person. And this is discussed in many, many, many areas of halacha. In Shas, it's only mentioned really at the beginning of Masechta Nedar, the difference between a neder, which is a din and a chefzeh, and a shvu, which is a halacha and a gavra. That's really where it's found in Shas. But as far as in the Torah of the Achrayim, there's a very, very important chakira regarding the nature of the Isra of Chametz. It's a strange thing that we have food that we eat the entire year, and we enjoy the entire year, it's totally permitted, and then all of a sudden, for a week, it's the horror of horrors, Chametz. But even Jews, many Jews who are far removed from the halachas of kashrus, when it comes to this thing called chametz, they're afraid. So the Ragachava, the Kozlegever, there's a Hitzak in Bitzel Panovich, many, many Achronim talk about the nature of this Issa. Is it an Issa that is somehow inherently in the food itself, that something happens that for a week the food becomes imbued with this existential reality that makes it a chefzeh shel iser, that it's like a piece of treif. It's a piece of treif. Or even worse. But the object itself is an object of iser. Or do we say no? That for 7 days or for that week of Pesach there's a chalois din on the gavra, on the person. The food is the same food. It's a slice of bread, it's a bagel. But the Torah came along and imposed on the person certain dinim, on the gavra, to stay apart, to stay removed and separated from this. So it's not like tarfus, it's not like chaylev or basa b'cholov and so on. It's a din on the person, on the gavra, to stay away. The pashtus we see from the Ragachov and others is that it's halacha in the gavra, not in the chetzah, because there's a very important klal that's found in the Asfan Deraisa from Rabbi Yosef Engel, in Klal Yud from Rabbi Yosef Engel, where there he explains that there's an important distinction to be made between certain isurim of the Torah that are isurim zmaniyim, that are related to time, as opposed to chaylev or basa b'chalev, that have nothing to do with time. And Rabbi Yosef Engel comes to the conclusion, he brings Kedarko, 1,000 rayas, to prove that when it comes to something that is generally in one state, but then there's a time where it's different, that cannot be a din in the actual chayfetz, in the object itself. It's a din of the person. In other words, there are certain dinim that the Torah imposed upon the person vis-a-vis that object. Not that the object is like a piece of treif. The Torah says you can't go near this thing for these days. For this time, you can't go near these things. And that's the verse of Engel brings rice from the Rambam, and from the Ramban, and from other Rishonim. And we spoke about this when we were learning some of the Inyan of Lamed Tes Melachos. That one of the diyukim of Rabbi Yosef Engel is that the lashon of the Mishnah is hazoreya hachoresh. The whole week long, you're allowed to plant. The whole week long, you're allowed to plow. So the issue is not in this zriya. It's the person. You can't be zorei. You can't plant on Shabbos. You can't plant. You can't plow on Shabbos. You can't put on a light on Shabbos. So it's a din in the person. That's why it's not Hazriya HaKharish, it's Hazareya HaKharish. It's not the thing, it's the person. And there are many, many nafkuminis. There are many nafkuminis in halacha, many, many nafkuminis that are brought down in halacha. For instance, the Michas Chinuch talks about the mitzvah of when it comes to removing the chametz. By the removal of the chametz, so the question is, when it comes to this mitzvah of tashbisu, is it enough that there be this bittul belev, this hashbasa belev? In other words, that emotionally, intellectually, we distance ourselves from the chametz? Or do we say, no, we have to do something to the actual chayfetz. The chayfetz has to be eliminated, or burned, or mefar la ruach. We have to do something with the object. So it depends on whether or not chametz is an iser that's in the chayfetz itself, or is it a din in the person not eating chametz? Another nafkimina that's discussed, we find in the Achronim, is whether or not chametz is metamte mesalev. We know that if God forbid a person eats something that's not kosher, it has an impact, it has an effect upon him, and ruchni is somehow, it affects him. It's metamte mesalev, metamte mesalmoach. It causes there to be a certain dullness in spirituality. So the question is, does that happen with chametz as well? If we say it's a din in the chefza, in other words, that for that week of Pesach, that the chefetz is metaphysically somehow affected by this din of the Torah, that if it comes like a piece of treif, then it could have a negative impact upon the kid. And that's where we find the number of achronim talk about whether or not, let's say you have a baby that's being nursed by somebody who's not Jewish, who's eating chametz during Pesach, right? And the baby's being nursed by this woman who's eating chametz during Pesach. Is that an issue? Or feeding a child that's used to having chametz, can we have somebody that's not Jewish give the kid some chametz during Pesach? Obviously, we're not dealing with an issue of a gavra, but dealing with an issue of a chefza. So if the child's a child, it's a baby. So there are many questions that come up also with Gabi Yisro Hanah. Do we need a special limud to teach us that chametz is also Hanah? There are many questions that come up. There's a very fascinating story that's brought down from a fascinating story that's brought down from Rabbi Kiva Egon when he was a little boy. Says that he heard a conversation between his mother and father. Rabbi Kiva Egon's mother asked his father that the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha he wasn't concerned about there being a gezeira not to sit by the Shabbos candle by himself, because he was constant, and he said, and he wasn't worried, and he said that ani ekrav le'ata, I will be able to sit by the candle. I'm conscious of Shabbos. I'm not going to start fixing the candle. And the Gemara says that even a god like that, even a great person like that, was nichshol. So Rabbi Kiva Egon heard his mother asking the father, how could it be that it was nichshol? Darizal said that a person who's careful not to eat a mashu of chametz on Pesach is muftar, that what? He's not going to sin the whole year. He's guaranteed he won't sin the whole year. So she asked her husband, that it's not possible, that it can't be, especially in Yonah Bachila, it can't be that what? That the Tana was nichshol in eating a mashu of chametz on Pesach. Can't be such a thing. How could it be? Otherwise, how do we explain that Itaka made a mistake and he sinned on his level? He moved the candle on Shabbos. So how could it be? There's a haftacha that Rizal says is a muftach that you're not going to sin. And he did. So the little boy, Rabbi Kiva, started off, he was a precocious child. Rabbi Kiva went and he brought a raya from Tosfos. So I'm not going, there's no time to go with that right now. Rabbi Kiva brought a raya from Tosfos to say, no, that's only when there's a chefza shalissa. He says it could be that when it comes to eating a mashu of chametz on Pesach, since it's not a din in the chefza, it's nis on the gavra, right? It's not a din in the chefza. So this thing that Kosh Baruch, that and the Haftach, the Rizal, is only if a person is whatever, rather that there could come out such a thing that he was able to sin, it's because it could take be that he ate a mashu of chametz on Pesach. But since a mashu of chametz on Pesach doesn't have a din of isur in the chefetz of the chametz itself, so then it could still be possible that he would move the candle on Shabbos. So it's brought down the story like different Biki Vega. So why am I telling you all of this? So let's now go into the Pnimius. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Flamet Aleph, Amud Beis, everybody is familiar with. The Gemara tells us there that when a person dies, when we leave this world, there are a number of questions that were asked when we come to the Bezen Shalmala at 120. And it seems that the most pressing question is Tzipis L'Yishuv. In other words, were you a person that longed for salvation? Tzipis L'Yishuv. Now, the simple meaning of the question is, were you somebody that was longing for the arrival of Mashiach? Tzipis L'Yishuv, were you waiting for the ultimate salvation? But when we look more deeply into this, it becomes very clear that it's not just about we want Mashiach now. It's certainly about that we want Mashiach. But on a deeper level, the Svarim tell us that it's a question about a person's entire life. Were you a person that, throughout your life, were you a person that was an optimist or a pessimist? How did you live your life? Were you a person that got up in the morning filled with emunah, filled with faith, filled with excitement, filled with anticipation for this coming day? Is that the way that you woke up in the morning, filled with the belief that the matzav in Eretz Yisrael is not going to be going on like this forever, and that the Shabbos Shalom Lefiyah is developed, and that the matzav with that kid that you have is not going to be forever? Do you wake up in the morning, or do you wake up in the morning with that noise of negativity, of pessimism, that breaks you, and that causes you to be missing the whole Simchas HaChaim of a Jew? You know, there's a fascinating thing. One of the questions that we find the Rishonim asking is, why is it that Dostan and Aviram were zeichet to leave Mitzrayim? How come Dostan and Aviram didn't die in the days of Choshech with the rest of the Rishonim, right? Dostan and Aviram were not tzaddikim. Why didn't Dostan and Aviram die? So we find a fascinating Rosh, where the Rosh says, Afo pisha ho Yerushalayim lo nisyashu min ha-geula. You hear this? Even though they were Rishayim, they were optimistic Rishayim. Lo nisyashu min ha-geula. It was those that died were people that were nisyashu. Those were people that were, that the whole time during the pandemic, they were listening to CNN and all the reports. They were nisyashu min ha-geula. Nisyashu min ha-geula. This is never going to end. And you see, there are people that it's never going to end. It's the Olam Ve'ed, this whole thing. Nisya'ashum Nagula. Dostan and Aviram, mit Alice, with all of their faults, Dostan and Aviram, lo nisya'ashum. The Rosh says, lo nisya'ashum Nagula. In other words, when it says lo nisya'ashum Nagula, it didn't only mean that they were hoping that someday we'll get out of this, someday we'll get out of Mitzrayim. It also meant that someday we want to be better. Someday we're going to have a Gula. Someday. We want to change. We're not able to right now, but the Rosh is telling us that that even with all of their problems, they were mitzapim liyeshua. They were Jews that were mitzapim liyeshua. Rav David Cohen, the Nozer, who's called the Nozer, I'm sure many of you heard of him. One of Rav Kook's greatest talmidim. We'll get to a sentence of his at the very end. The Nozer writes that, if you want to look at one of the books of Tanakh that's filled with what he calls Ke'ev Ha'olam, the pain of the world, which book would that be? It would either be Iyavakalis, right? The Contenders. So he says, when you look especially at Kohelis, he says the level of pain and of pessimism that Shlomo Melech speaks about doesn't end that way. But he describes in Sefer Kohelis, the Nozer says, is really encapsulated and summarized in these words of the Pasuk, Ein kol chadash tachas hashamash. There is nothing new under the sun. Ein kol chadash tachas hashamash. There is nothing new. And the whole Kohelis, dor holech, dor ba, a generation comes, a generation goes, b'zorach hashamash, uvah hashamash, you feel the monotony and the misery in these psukim. The sun rises, the sun also sets. Sovev, sovev, it goes around and around. Holech, haruach, val svivoisov, shavaruach. Everything just is the same thing over and over. Mashahaya, what? Hushayiya, whatever was all there's ever going to be. Umashanasa, hushayayasa, whatever has taken place is what's going to take place. Yeish dover shiomar re'eza chadash. So sometimes it looks like there's something new, and people say, "Oh, re'eza chadash," but the pessimist says, "Hukvar hayol la'olam." So the classic Sefer in Tanakh that is describing the worldview of the pessimist, of the Messiah, is Sefer Koheles. And that he calls the Ke'ev Ha'olam, the pain of the world. Yeshu, the Yeush of what he calls Pessimius Neira, of horrible pessimism. Now, when we go back, I don't usually like to quote from non-Jewish sources at all. I'll just mention for a second. If we go back to the Olam HaKadmon, way back in history, to Chachmei Yavan, to the ancients of Greece, there was a Beis HaMedrash there in ancient Greece. There was a school of thought in ancient Greece that believed that the entire world, everything that exists is static, is stuck. Nothing changes. The past, the present, and the future is all the same. And they are the upholders in ancient times in the secular world of this view of Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. There is nothing new. And that's a dark, gloomy world of Yeush. On the other hand, there was another Beis HaMedrash that was dynamic, and that Beis HaMedrash in ancient Greece saw that all of reality as being in constant flux and constant change. And over the years, those who have had the misfortune, like myself, of studying philosophy, where there was a time in my life, a few years, where I did, over all of history, this machlokas continued. The machlokas that you know, whether you're a Kohelis person or a Shirashirim person, that difference of those two Megillas and those two worldviews of Kohelis, Shirashirim, persisted and continued to and persist to this day by the Achronim of the philosophers of the secular world. The greatest of the pessimists, it seems to me, was Descartes. Again, I don't like to mention these people usually, but it's important to have in context of what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll talk about in a second. So Descartes was a Welt pessimist, and on the other hand, the Welt optimist, again, I don't know if you're familiar with these names, was Bergson. Everything by Bergson was new, was eschatches, and every single second was hachodesh hazeh lachem. In that world, of the secular world, everything was Shir Hashirim, everything was Chag Ha'oviv, Chodesh Ha'oviv. You could say about the writings of that particular philosopher, Ein Kol Yashan Tachas Hashem, nothing is old, by Bergson, Hakol Chadash. And I enjoyed reading that. It's a pleasure to read. I'm not recommending it for anybody. It was a pleasure. Now let's go to the Haggadah, Chevra. Let's go to Pesach. The Ke'ev Ha'olam, the pain of the Jewish people, is galus, is exile. That's our misery. Our suffering is called galus. And the beginning of the story of galus that we tell on Lel HaSeder, the beginning of that story, we tell the story of galus with the words Manishtana. Manishtana, which the pessimists would say, would translate, has anything really changed? Manishtana. Has anything really changed? It begins with the word ma. What's fascinating is that it ends, by the time we get to the end of the Seder and the Nirtza, then we're singing already the song of Echad, Mi Yodeya. Mi Yodeya. Who knows one? Echad Ani Yodeya. So the transition that's taking place from Golus to Gula, from Kehelis to Shir Hashirim, which is our minute to end the night with Shir Hashirim. We begin with the misery of Golus, with Ma Nishtana, nothing is different. We begin with the question of Ma, Mem Hei, what? But we end with a different kind of question. We end with the question of Mi, Echad Mi Yodeya. So we transition from Ma to Mi. Golus, we're going to learn right now. Golus is the sod of Mem Hei, of Ma, of what? And Geula, salvation, redemption, is the sod of Mem Yud, of Mi. Let me explain what I'm talking about. In the Hakdama of the Zohar Kaddish, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, begins to darshan Ma'aseh Bereishis. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is talking about creation. And he's darshaning the pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Mem. Su'u meroim einechem, learning about this in Chabuz Yosef HaTzadik, Su'u meroim einechem uru'u mi bara eila. Lift your eyes, lamarum, to the heavens, it's probably translated, above. Su'u meroim einechem, lift your eyes up, uru'u mi bara eila. And the drasha there is focusing on the fact that mi and eila are the letters Elokim. Mi and eila are Elokim, right? Mi and Mem Yud, Alf Lam Hei is Elokim. Mi bara eila. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon asks, La'an Asar. What does it mean? Where do our eyes, where do we look? What does it mean, La'an Asar? To what place do our eyes turn? In other words, it doesn't say su l'shamayim einechem. Su says su marom. So he explains that the Navi is telling us to lift our eyes up, not to a place, but like we're learning on Sunday morning, that we should have himodika eigen, to look at things from a higher perspective. To look at things from a higher perspective. To look at things in a different way. L'mokim shakol einayim pliyim sham, d'hai sosim atika d'kayim l'sha'ela, v'yu ba'orach sosim v'le'esgalya ikre mi. Turn your eyes to the one whose ways are mysterious and hidden. That's what Rabbi Elazar Shimon says. Turn your eyes away from ma, and turn your eyes to mi. Mi bara eila. There's a difference between ma and mi. Between what is and who is it. What is it and who is it? What that means is as follows. The ancient Egyptians were the foremost upholders of a philosophy, of a worldview of pessimism. The word Mitzrayim, as you all know, is from what word? Meitzarim. Meitzar. I mean, I'm Meitzar. A Meitzar means you're stuck. It means you're closed in, you're stuck. And therefore, the ancient Egyptians were living in a static world, cycles, monotonous laws, all kinds of chukim, machayvim, mishabdim. When Chazal say that nobody ever escaped, no Eved ever escaped Egypt, means it was a world where everything was mashahoya, hushiyya. If you were a slave on Tuesday, you were a slave on Wednesday. And you were a slave until you died. And whatever your status was in society, what you were born into, that's the way that you died. And all of the laws and the philosophy of the ancient Egyptians was Ma Shahaya Hushiyya, the embodiment of pessimism. What Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is talking about at the very beginning of the Zohar Kaddish. Remember that the Zohar Kaddish is coming to reveal the inner reality. Not the external reality of Mashahayu Hushiyya. Everything is just going on and on and on. And everything is revolving. Sovev, Sovev, Holech, Eruach. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is tearing away the covering of Egypt, of Descartes, of that horrible, pessimistic, goalless way of looking at reality as being something which is unmoving, static, unchanging. You are who you are. You can never be anything other than the person that you are, and so on. The world can never change. It's the opposite of Tzipis LeYeshua. Mitzrayim is the source, is the root of goalless. It's the darkest, deepest feeling of a person who is hopeless. It's the opposite of Tzipis LeYeshua. In other words, when we die at 120, and in the Bezen Shamala, we're asked the question, did you long for salvation? Were you an optimist? It means that the Malach is going to ask you, Rabbi, were you among those Jews who left Mitzrayim and celebrated Pesach? Did you leave? Did you leave Mitzrayim? Did you leave that narrow, constricted world that only cared about Mazeh, the Chepsa, not the Gavra? only cared about maze. What is this? Not who is this? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the revolution of Yiddishkeit, the revolution of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the revolution of creation is turn your eyes, uru'u, sum merom einechem. Lift up your eyes. Don't just ask the question of what is this temple made of. Don't just ask the question of what is the chemical composition of the cereal that I'm having for breakfast. Ask a different question. Sum merom einechem. Lift your eyes up and ask the question, mi bara eila. Who created this? Who's the creator of all of this? Where does this come from? Who created this? There's the tfisa, the ancient pessimistic tfisa that's Egyptian. The stausels of that would be in Greece, and then with the later philosophers, that all history. There's one. That's one tfisa of creation. There's another tfisa that asks the question of mi bara eila, where there's a bore and there's a nivra. The Egyptian will look at the moon and will ask the question, maze, what is this? It's a strange thing. There's this sphere that's farther away than Australia, a lot farther than Australia. And this strange sphere, we want to know, the scientist wants to know, was ist das? What is this? In other words, the scientific mind is filled with the question of maze. And all of science is to answer the question, maze. What is this? And throughout all of history, those who believe that they were upholding all that is rational and scientific, the only question they wanted to answer was the Egyptian question of maze. See, when you look at the moon, you look at that and you ask, how big is it? How does it work? Do they sell tchina and chumas over there? What is that place? What is that place that's called the moon? That's the interest of Egypt. That's the interest of science. What is it? And when a Yid goes outside, hopefully we'll have a beautiful, clear moon. And when we go outside and we look up at the moon, we say, V'lelavona omar shetes chadesh, ateres teferes lamusei vatan shehem asidim les chadesh kamaisa. Baruch atah Hashem, what? Mechadesh chadashim. We're just as scientific as the rest of the world. We're just as interested in the question of ma. But we never ever end with the question of ma. We always end with the question of echad mi yodea. Who created the moon? Why did he create the moon? What is the moon telling us? The moon is telling us that even though you feel sometimes like your light is finished, like you're dead, you have no desire to get up, there's a creator who loves you. And who created you? And why did he create you? So that transitioning from Golus, from the Ke'eva Olam, from the pessimism of the word Ma, Manishtan, what has changed? To go to that world of mi bara eila, Elokim, su'um ra minechem, to look at things in an entirely different way, to look at things in a completely different way. You know, the Sfarim say that by Kiddush Levana, it's fascinating how we turn to each other and we say, Shalom Aleichem. What do you answer, Yeshua, when I say to you, Shalom Aleichem? Aleichem Shalom. But I just saw you the whole Shabbos. 100. First 100 since 7th grade. Yes. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. So this is why I'm talking about this. It's a modern thing that you're sitting next to this guy the whole Shabbos. He's annoying you. He's arguing the whole time. You walk outside. You walk out of shul 5 feet. You look up at the moon. You say Shalom Aleichem. He says Aleichem Shalom. What do you mean? You never saw this guy. You're sitting with him the whole Shabbos. The teretz is, he's not the same person. That's the world of Yiddishkeit. That's the world of getting out of Egypt. That's the world of Ein kol yoshan tachas Hashemayim. There's nothing old. Hakol chadash. That's why Pesach is chodesh aviv. Hachodesh is alechem. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kazer ve'ev kadesh. Look at the moon. Look at the moon. Kazer ve'ev kadesh. This is the world. I'm taking you out of Egypt. I'm taking you out of that sad, static world of the Mitzrayim. So a person can walk outside. The weather's starting to get nice. The Mitzvah Shem is going to be a few days. It's going to be beautiful. The flowers are coming up. Everything is coming back to life. A person can walk outside and look at the trees and the flowers, and he could ask the question, just one question, Maza. And he could walk around with a microscope. He could walk around with his notes or with a computer, and to Google this flower and this tree. And there are people that they enjoy doing that. Kol kavod. But the whole question, is Maza. And it's totally good to ask. We also want to know what that is. But a Yid walks outside at this time of the year, and the flowers are starting to come up, and Pesach is already in the air. And that Jew starts to sing, and he starts to cry out, Mi bara ela. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. I told last week to Chevra, I was in Lakewood last week, and I told him the story. I mentioned it maybe once here over the years also, that there were two Talmidim, two Altamirs, two old graduates of the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, that they got together in Chicago. Ramadche Rogov was a big Lamdan. He was a Rav in Chicago after the war. He died many years ago. And an old Chavrusif, his name was Rabbi Chanin Yosef Hertzman. He's a big people, a tremendous Lamdan. And Rav Hertzberg went to visit him, his friend Rav Rogov in Chicago. And they were both close in age. And Rav Hertzman was very, very nispal that he saw that his Chavrusa, who was actually, I think, a year or two older than him, was like a yeshiva bar. He was Amish, learning late into the night, getting up early, and everything that he did was with such excitement and such zvizus. And Hertzberg himself was he was in his 80s and he was trying to schlep, could barely get around. So he asked this friend, he said, Mordechai, how do you do that? What's the story with you? So Rav Rogov said to him, some of you remember the story? Rav Rogov said to him, what do you mean, why am I excited? Because he saw it like a bacher. He said, we were together by the same shmuz by Rabbi Yochanan. So he said, what shmuz? It was like in 1910, what shmuz from Rabbi Yochanan? He said, you remember, we had a chabur with Rabbi Yochanan that we was zeichet to be in his house. There was a certain special vad that took place in Rabbi Yochanan's house. And there were the elite. And they had this special shmuz from the mashgiach in the house. And it was not like Rabbi Yochanan to ever be even a minute late. And we were in his house, and we were waiting around the table, and Rabbi Yochanan was late. And Rav Rogov said, you remember, it was a beautiful, beautiful spring day. It was right Pesach time. It was a beautiful spring day. And we saw that Rabbi Yochanan, we saw him coming into the house, and he was on fire. And he walked in, and he started to call out to us. He started to call, he said, Chvinetsky, coming from the gas. I just came from the street. And I saw, it's alles wachst. Wasn't it alles wachst? Everything's growing. Everything is growing. And then I began to hear, and I began to hear the trees screaming out to me, Yeruchim, alles wachst. Everything is growing. For was wachst ihr nicht? Why aren't you growing? And he couldn't come to himself, Rabbi Yochanan. And now, Rabbi Yosef Elchanan, Hertzman said, yeah, gedenk. So Mordechai Rogov said, I'm living with that every minute of my life. I can't get that out of my head. That day in Rabbi Yochanan's house. Alles wachst. Everything is growing. For was wachst ihr nicht? How come you stopped growing? What happened to you? The change that took place when Rav Kook spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim being the Aviv HaOlam, the spring of the world. The physical composition and nature of the universe didn't change, as far as we can see. It didn't change. What took place was that the world of Mitzrayim is a person who takes an apple in his hand and he asks, Maza, what is the apple? Ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, it became possible for a person to hold an apple in his hand and to say, Miza. Miza. Who is this? Mi bara ela. And when a person makes that transition from mashu, from a cheftza, to mishahu, a gavra, that's called gula. That's called redemption. Ultimately, it's going to be with Mashiach ben David. Mishem should be very soon. Mashahu to mishahu. Now, this began with the first one of us who actually was dragging around in the world, and the rest of the world was stuck before Mitzrayim. Well, Mitzrayim already existed, but the world was stuck in one place, and our Eltezei Avraham Avinu began to ask, what, me? Bal Habiru. He began to ask the question of me. Who's the Adon Olam? He was the one that began that revolution that culminated with Yetzias Mitzrayim and will ultimately culminate with Mashiach ben David. From that time of Mi Bal Habir, that Avraham Avinu was walking around this world and he was asking the question, Mi Bal Habir, we began with that project, with that enterprise, undertaking of looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and looking at ourselves not like a chevtza, not as an object, but rather as a gavra, as a person. Each person, each single one of us, not kahelis, shir, shir. When I said at the very beginning that I'm going to talk to you about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Mahapech of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, I'm not going to go into this now. This is arichas, which I talk about all the time on different occasions. But the world before the Baal Shem HaKadosh and the world after the Baal Shem HaKadosh, it's the same. It's that same emphasis. The difference between the one who is focused on mazeh, on the chevtza, as opposed to the one who is constantly every second of his life asking mizeh, mi bara ela. It's a different davening. It's a different world. The world of the Baal Shem HaKadosh is the explanation of that hakdama to the Zohar Kodesh of Rabbi Loz, that Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon asked that the whole tachlis of our lives is sumer aminechem, we're on mi bara ela, to ask the question me. Therefore, the Svarim make a very, very big point about the gematria of Adam. Aleph Dalad and the Mem. Aleph Dalad Mem. The gematria of Adam is 45. 45 is Mem Hei, is Ma. That's the gematria of Adam, is Mem Hei. And the vast majority of people in the world over history have fallen into that diminished view of Ma Enosh Kisiv Kirenu, Uven Adam Kisiv Kedenu. What is man? Not who is man. What is man? And therefore the objectification of slaves. How is it possible that a human being should be taken as a slave? What does that mean? The objectification of women, of how, of all of these mistakes where people began somehow to look at other people as being chefzes, not as gavras. They began to look at people as things, not as humans. That's Mitzrayim. That's Mitzrayim. To look at a person as a thing, and not as somebody who's constantly changing, alive, not as somebody who has a shlichus, not as somebody who's me. See, Mem Yud, we've spoken about many times over the years, which we come to Sfiras Omen, Teshuvas, Mem Yud is 50. 50 is the sod of what? Yovel. In other words, man's job in this world is to elevate himself from being Adam, which is Mem Hei, which is 45, and to make himself into an Adam, which is Mem Yud. Mem Yud is 50. 50 is Cheiris. 50 is Man Cheiris Heinu. 50 means Yovel. 50 means being free. 50 means Echad Mi Yodeya. The question of me. If you're asking that question, if you live as an optimist with hope and with faith and tzipisa li Yeshua, then every second of your life you're asking the question of mi bara ela. And if you believe who is the creator, that there's a creator, and that I'm a human being, I'm not a thing, I'm not a pyramid, I'm not a sphinx, I'm a person, I'm a yid, I have inside of me a chelik elokim mal, which means that every second of my life is a different world, like the Alter Rebbe talks about Shaiyichah b'Emuna. Every single second, Dvar Hashem Shemayim, Dvar Chalukin Nitzav Hashemayim, with Alter Rebbe explains, all this one talk about that every single, not second, every single millisecond, it's a whole new world. A whole new world wasn't invented by Disney. Is that from Disney? I don't know, something like that. It wasn't invented by Disney. A whole new world means mamish. The mitzias is every single second is changing. That's what it means. Tshuva was created before the world. Tshuva means you're never stuck. Just because you were one thing 5 minutes ago, the next 5 minutes, in the world of there being a creator and you're being a me and not a ma, you're not stuck at all. Everything is changing. Every second is changing. The whole world of Paro was making fun of us. And Paro said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. You hear what he's doing? He's mocking the whole concept of me. Mi Hashem. Their gods were gods of Ma. Ma is something you could buy in Amazing Savings. It's a thing. Ma, I shouldn't say like Amazing Savings, the Jewish people. I didn't mean it in a bad way. You could buy this in the 5 and 10. Ma is a thing. Egypt was... So therefore, Paro says, Mi Hashem. He didn't go for this whole idea of me. Because me means the end of slavery. Me means the end of... Me means that you're done. You're finished. Paro's done. There's no more Paro. Like Rav Matos was talking about last night, the side of Ra, the Yetzirah, it's a cool... It doesn't exist. Because the truth of Messias is that from one second to the next, it's Ram Derevel. It's not the same thing. But that puts Paro... All the powers of the world are put out of business by that. There's no such thing. And therefore, you understand that Paro was stopped making fun of Mi Hashem Hashem Bekoilai. Because he lived in a closed universe. He lived in a finite world. And there are many people that still live that way. In a closed, finite, miserable, dark, pessimistic world. And much of that has had a huge impact upon modern Western civilization. I don't have time now to go into the problem of that, but it's had a huge impact upon modern civilization. And what's happening now in America, and what's happening also in Israel, and really all over the world is very much connected to this machlokes between the two worldviews of Kehelet and Shir Hashirim. It goes back to the same thing. One of the greatest optimists that lived in this last period of time was Rav Kook, Zchus Yigaleinu. Rav Kook has a whole section in the Urz HaKodesh in the second Chalik. There's a whole section that's called His Alus HaOlam. You know that Rav Kook was a tremendous supporter of the theory of evolution. Not Darwin's theory of the origin of the species. That's filled with kfir and not because. But Rav Kook saw in that shift from the Middle Ages to that Ra'ayon, that concept of the world evolving, of the world improving, of the world moving, of the world changing, he saw like he saw in everything else in the world. He saw in that a tremendous nitzotz, a spark of a great kedusha. He saw in that a tremendous step forward towards the coming of Mashiach. Just an example of a sentence. There are thousands of sentences, but there's a whole section there in Chelik Beis. Ki eich evshel es yayish. Listen to Rav Kook. How is it possible for a person to despair? How could a person give up? Whether it means with your marriage, whether it means with a kid, whether it means with children, whether it means with parnasa, whether it means with your ruchnius. How could a person give up? Rav Kook says, that's exactly when you see that everything is evolving, everything is changing. That's what Rav Rogov heard from Rabbi Yochum. That Rabbi Yochum heard every flower screaming out to him, Yochum, box, grow, change. You left Mitzrayim. You're miyotzei Mitzrayim. Even Dostan Avim lo nesiyah shuman agula. They didn't give up.
How many of us are living the same way with the same habits and the same shtusim and the same narishkeit? You're 12 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, with the same silliness and the same stuck in the same place like a child. And you could be 40, 50 years old, the same temper and the same shtusim and the same laziness and the same. Soiv hoylech. Like Kahelis describes at the beginning. Masha ha Yehushia. You could ask somebody, you're 60 years old, you still can't get up for davening, or you're 60 years old, you're 50 years old, you still kiss the guy's wife by kiddush or something. You know, it's against halacha. You know, you might be chayv karis for that. He said, this looks, and this I'm doing my whole life. It's Masha ha Yehushia. That's who I was, that's who I am, that's who I will always be. And you could put it on my mitzvah. Masha hayisi, hayisi, v'kach gamarti. I was who I was when I was 14, 15, I was done. I was cooked. And that's how I died. Yet people, they say the same jokes. The same jokes for 67 years. You know, I always make fun of this. You only have a certain number. People more careful than the shul do, but I, in the country, I got some people upset because I was making fun of it. But you have people that are 40, 50 years old and they announce somebody has a simcha and they still call out kiddush, kiddush. Or you have, or they announce that somebody, whatever, did something, and you have these guys that go, psh, psh. And then they look out to see how everybody is looking at them. I think that's so original. Wow, nobody blame up. You're 50 years old, Rabbi Shalom. Stop it a minute. Like you did this in the shtiva when you were 12. Kiddush. Move on to something else. Talk about something else. And they always look around like, you heard that? I made that sound. That's something. How did I think of that? But isn't it true? You go to one place after the other, and you have these people, and they go, and it's the same look on their faces. And the same comments. They call somebody to give him a leah, and his friends go, shoo. Son, for Baruch Shalom, these are harmless things. I'm making fun because they're harmless. But there are things that are not harmless. There are habits that are not harmless. There are habits that are not harmless. And a person is stuck in that place, and he's living a life that's the opposite of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the opposite of Pesach. There's a... There's a poem that I've mentioned over the years. Also, I apologize, it's from somebody that's not Jewish, but it's one that I come back to very often in my thoughts, and I'd like to share with you again, even though I've done this in the past, so forgive me. But I think it's very beautiful, and it's what we're talking about. It's by Walt Whitman. He's one of my favorites from the old days, Walt Whitman, and it's called "When I Heard the Learned Astronomer." You familiar with this? When I heard the learned astronomer, listen to this. It's a little bit hard to hear when you're not reading it inside. It's just a few sentences. It's about a guy that's sitting in the lecture hall listening to a lecture on astronomy. I've read it a few times over the years. When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were arranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon unaccountably I became tired and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wander off by myself in the mystical moist night air, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars. That's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen written. In other words, he was taking an astronomy class, and the professor was lecturing in astronomy, and he was going over the facts and the figures. In other words, ma. That's fine. We have to know those things. And he was going over the facts and the figures. But the student says, how so unaccountable, for reasons that I couldn't understand, I became tired and sick. That's what's going on with the world. That's what the world was like until the Baal Shem Tov came. Tired and sick. Smart, learned, even pious. But tired. Tired. As the tzaddikim say, the Rabbi Yashab Skusil and all the tzaddikim spoke about how the world was in a state of faintness, iluf, being faint and sick and tired. A mitzvah, but a mitzvah that's not alive. a davening where you'll have thousands of classes. What is the meaning of davening? Not to whom are you davening? You hear the difference? The difference between ma and me. There are going to be thousands of shirim going on all over the Jewish world over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Thousands. I would wager, I'm sorry to say, that the vast majority of them are going to be focused on ma, not on me. Who is he? Not on that connection to me. Mi baril. Ma and me, of course, spell mami, right? That's the need of a mother. That's the need of a mother. But that difference, the Baal Shem HaKadosh came, and the way that Rav Kook writes about this in the Erez HaKadosh, also in Chelek Beis, Mimokam She'ein Kol Chadosh. He wasn't speaking specifically about the Baal Shem Tov. He was talking about what he called the Tchiyah, the revival, the return to life in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Kook's whole this whole avoda was, bringing the Jewish people back to life in Eretz Yisrael. Mimokam She'ein Kol Chadosh. We must move, Rav Kook wrote, from a place where nothing is new to a place where nothing is old. Shakol mischadesh, that everything is mischadesh, everything is new. She simchas shamayim v'aretz hovabo, to a life where that is filled with the simcha of shamayim and aretz. He's alluding to the month of Nisan, because the tziv of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei of the month of Nisan is the pasuk what yisimcha shamayim. Which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Oisis of Hashem's name, which is Mi Bara Ela, the time of Nisan. Yismucha Shamayim, which is the time of creation, Nisan. Yismucha Shamayim, Visogel Arutz. He says, Kiyom Shenivro. Kiyom Shenivro. So, Chavre, when I began talking about whether or not Chomis is a din in the Chavtsa, whether or not Chomis is a din in the Gavra, and it seems that the consensus holds that chametz is a passing problem that we have in our lives. It passes. It's not inherent in creation. There is a problem with chametz in creation. But since the conclusion of Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Ragachava, and the vast majority of Achrayim is that chametz is not a chefzah shel iser. Chametz is an iser that then... It's a passing problem that man has, that we've been struggling with from the beginning of time. But it's not how we were created. It's not how we were wired. Man, even though Adam is the gematria 45 and is Ma, the tachlis of our lives, ever since that day that we left Mitzrayim, the tachlis is to be able to take a walk like Rabbi Yochum on a spring day. And they're going to be coming up now at Mitzrayim, lots of beautiful days. And to be able to take a walk the way that this person is not Jewish was able to describe Lahavdil. To be able to take a walk and to feel, I'm a person that when it comes to 120 and they're going to ask me Shemayim, my entire Yid, Yehudi Yakar, Tagid Eta Emet, Tzipita LeYeshua, be you optimistic. Not just about the stock market. Be you optimistic, not just about politics. Be you optimistic about yourself. Be you optimistic about your kids. Be optimistic about how it's never too late to change. If you were, that means that you were among the Yotzei Mitzrayim. It means that you are one of those who left Mitzrayim back then, and you're going to come back to life. Because you're a person that you never allowed yourself to die while you were in the world. So you're going to come back to life. And that's why we have a Kabbalah. This is the time of the year, Tchias Amesim. So we daven, they should be Kimei Tzeis Chimei Tzitzrayim, Aaron and the flows, that we should be among those who are Yetzim Mitzrayim, that we should be Jews who are filled with that light of Shir Hashirim, of the Gavra. And if sometimes we taste the bitterness of the Mara, and we taste the bitterness of Koheles, but we remember the end of Koheles, Sov Dava HaKol Nishma. At the end of Koheles, otherwise it wouldn't be in Tanakh, Sov Dava HaKol Nishma, Salakimi Revis, Mitzvayisav Shemar, Kizeh Kol HaAdam. It's all that man is. Is to be able to leave Mitzrayim and to continue along to finish this Golas and to finish the Gula of Mitzrayim, where the Gula is going to take place with Mashiach Tzakenu, should be Meir Yemeinu Amen.